The following program does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WFMD.
It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, blending business and politics. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning and welcome to Success Happens. This is Jen, and today is going to be a continuation of really the theme of a new year and transforming life as we know it. And wow, are things happening. When you look at global transformation, right now we have many countries in a state of flux. There is an impact to what we've been going through as a nation, rippling across the planet. And at the heart and at the thrust of it is, I believe, China and Chinese Communist Party, CCP. We've talked on the show recently about, you know, is this what transformation looks like? I had the gentleman on from Romania who's now a resident here. He's a citizen. He knows what it's like to grow up in a communist environment. And so, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, is it, what's it like? He said, it kind of looks like this. You know, you can't talk to people and they tell you who you can listen to. And, you know, they censor people. And oh, my goodness, we're going through that across our nation right now. So I thought, what better person to have on than my dear friend, Peter Husey, to come back and talk to us about the impact of China right now and all the things that we are enduring because of their plans, really, to, I'll say it this way, I don't know, take over the planet. Welcome, Peter.
And thank you. That's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, and this is, we're re-recording this show. We had a chat last Saturday, and so this is an opportunity to continue that conversation, expand on it, really. Had some audio issues, so I just want to make sure that we have an opportunity to really get this information out there because it's so relevant right now, what people are going through and what we're witnessing. And I want to start by giving kind of a global perspective. It is my understanding as of the taping of this show on Monday evening that there are major shifts in governments across Europe, including the Netherlands, Estonia, Italy, Germany. Angela Merkel has announced she will not be seeking re-election. And I know you have something to share about that. You know, there's some things to talk about China's influence and, frankly, impact on the southern hemisphere below us. So let's start with the global shifts in the European Union, because I think that's something that people may not realize what's going on. So when you look at Angela Merkel, she is stepping out. What impact is that? What do you think is the source of her decision to do that?
I think part of it was Brexit was something that she did not think would actually go through, and it diminished her leadership because she did. The European Union is run from Brussels, and it talked about you think bureaucracy is bad here in America. That's what Brexit was all about, was enough is enough. The people in Brussels tell us what to do, and it's when I was in the Czech Republic when it had just become Czechoslovakia. And we were driving through the countryside, and I noticed all these little farms had one cow and maybe one or two pigs, and the number of chickens were like three. And I asked him, here's the president of the country, what's going on? He says, oh, when we joined the EU, we had to slaughter all our herds because they didn't want excess competition with the European Union, other members' agriculture products. So we had to get everything except for one cow you could keep a couple pigs and maybe a couple chickens. Which, of course, means that you can't make a living.
Yeah, you know, that smacks of communism right there.
Oh, it's just terrible. But what Ms. Merkel is doing is she's stepping down. I think the issue there is she has made a decision that Russia will buy heavy machinery from the German industry, manufacturing, and in return, Germany will be solely dependent upon Russian natural gas for their electricity. That's heating and cooling and industrial production. And it's a disaster because Russia, that pipeline that goes from Russia, goes to Ukraine, it goes to a number of countries. Each country takes kind of a cut, a transit fee, or takes a little bit of gas. And the Russians can turn it off, turn it on, and they have a lever against you, which the Germans do not have the ability to do that with heavy industrial machinery. So it's very bad. And then you have Italy, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Communist Chinese Party because of they're broke. And a number of years ago, under Berlusconi, they basically made a deal to basically be bought by China.
Well, let me interject.
Particularly the organized crime.
Well, and the fashion industry is completely in bed with the Chinese.
Totally.
Or let's say the Chinese are sleeping in northern Italy,
Producing their goods. That's why the COVID was so bad, because they had direct flights from Wuhan to Milano. And in that area is where all the fabric is made and all the clothes are made. And you had tens and tens of thousands of Chinese coming back and forth. And the Chinese told the Italian government, don't complain, don't shut down travel, or we're going to call in some of our loans and you're going to be broken. The other thing, Italy gave China a couple hundred million dollars worth of masks and personal protective equipment when China got the virus. China then turned around, never opened the boxes, turned around and sold to Italy during its virus, sold the products for back to them, had been given in the first place to
Ridiculous.
China. This is how the Chinese play this game. Now, look at Harvard University. The head of the chemistry department is taking $50,000 a month under the table. And the money
So how does that happen? I mean, how did Harvard let that happen?
I don't think they had a clue, because he was getting a lot of money from the chemistry industry to develop new products. That's what industries do. They're universities. They're basically farm teams for Major League Baseball. But in this case, it's American industry. It's perfectly fine. You get brilliant minds. And this guy was found. He's been arrested. He resigned. They're going to charge him. He's getting $50,000 cash a month from China to transfer to China all the chemistry.
So is that treason?
Well, it's maybe the first cousin.
Right.
But then again, the same thing happened with someone big shot at MIT. Same thing at NASA. Same thing at Leonardo, the big defense firm in Italy.
We have been infiltrated by the Chinese.
No. These are American. They're not Chinese American citizens. They just sold out because of the money. Now, it is also true in one company at one university after another.
Wait, let me back up for a second. Do those people realize that they sold out, or do they justify it somehow by saying, oh, well, you know, I'm providing them a service, and then therefore they get this. And
no, it's part of.
Does it kind of look like it's okay to them? I mean, how do they not know?
Their idea is, well, everybody trades with China, so why can't we trade with China? And I'm just giving them information that they're going to use to develop their technology. The problem is U.S. productivity goes down, U.S. jobs go down, U.S. salaries go down, U.S. competitiveness goes down.
Is it an employment contract that these people have?
They have the guy's head of the chemistry department of Harvard University.
Right.
He takes the money under the table. There's no contract.
So he's not even reporting it to IRS,
way. God, no. And then the same thing happened, for example, when we looked at where U.S. retirement money goes in the government. U.S. government invests your retirement money if you're a civilian employee or military. And there's an index fund called a $50 billion overseas investment fund. There's no requirement that Wall Street says what's in it. Well, Roger Robinson, dear friend of mine, who runs something called Conflict Securities in Washington, D.C., dug, and guess what? They're Chinese communist military companies that were getting retirement money into their fund by Wall Street, and these are American soldiers and American civilian employees, and God bless President Trump put an end to it.
And wasn't that also some of the California funds were in there as well?
CalPERS is the biggest retirement fund in the country. It was run by a gentleman who had been head of the Sovereign Wealth Management Fund in guess where? China, who left CalPERS, went to China for a 4-year sabbatical, invested their sovereign money, which is the government's money around the world, which is trillions of dollars, and then came back and CalPERS put him in head of investment. And guess what he was doing? He was taking CalPERS money, which is all the retirement funds for the California teachers, professors, civil servants, government employees, and using that money and buying Chinese Communist Party favorites, which were military companies. So we were funding China's military expansion. Now, if you want to go buy an index fund from Wall Street and they're buying Chinese military companies, there's nothing currently preventing you from doing that. The president tried to get the Treasury Department to put a kibosh on Wall Street, but unfortunately, the Treasury Department has historically been in bed with Wall Street and Goldman Sachs and all the rest of them. That's got to stop, because everybody doesn't know literally when they're buying this stuff. It's going to produce weapons that China is using to what? Threaten America and our allies in Taiwan and South Korea and Japan. And The third part of this is the more interesting one. It's right here at home. The Chinese go to Central and Latin American countries and they say, we'll build you a soccer stadium. That gives them the goodwill. Then they say part of the deal is we'll give you $2 billion worth of mabibis, which is Chinese money, and you can use it to buy any Chinese goods you want. And, oh, by the way, you got to pay it back. Colombia or Venezuela or Salvador or whatever end up, holy cow, we can't pay it back. What does China say? Oh, that's okay. We want three things, your seaports, your banks, and your IT. So we determine what ships come into your seaports, what products can be on those ships, what banks will give money to whom for what investment, and IT. We control the flow of information. Nobody says a bad word about China. And guess what? American products don't go on those ships. American products don't go into those seaports, but Chinese products do.
We were talking about investments. I want to talk about the fact that Chinese companies, investors, CCP perhaps, are coming into U.S. and confiscating, swallowing up, scooping up our land and our real estate. Particularly concerned right now about commercial real estate that's been crushed, oh, by the way, by their virus.
Yes,
so
yes, that's true.
Is there, it seems to me there needs to be some rules and regs around who can buy land in U.S. Because, by the way, in Bermuda, you cannot buy land in Bermuda or a house if you are not Bermudian.
That's right.
So I want to take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about that. But I want to discuss this notion of why they are allowed to even come in here and participate in our investments.
They pool money into a real estate trust or something.
I got that. Those real estate trusts are a little tricky, much like your foreign investment fund. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today Peter Husey, who is a geopolitical strategist and expert on China and Iran and some of the bad actors in that part of the globe who apparently are knocking on our back door. Just recently, we know that they were in Canada doing cold weather training. I don't know. I think they've got cold weather in China. No need to come to Canada, but whatever. And so we'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to go back to this idea of investments and the capturing, if you will, of U.S. markets and investments, whether it's a corporate funds or pensions or land. Right now, we are in a very precarious situation. We've got a hot real estate market that could change. Real estate could suffer a bit of a correction. But I think right now with commercial real estate being crushed by the Wuhan virus, I think that we need to have, and I actually suggested this to a legislator, we need an executive order or something that says the Chinese are not allowed to come in here and purchase property and restrict their access to our resources, and land and real estate is certainly one of our most precious resources. So any thoughts about that, Peter?
Well, the Chinese, remember, America has 65% of all the capital in the world that people want to borrow, want your money. The Chinese have to invest literally hundreds and hundreds of billions a year to buy their own currency to prop it up so that their economy stays solvent. That's one of the reasons they have to get so much American money. So they make it attractive to invest in Chinese stuff, but they hide it. The other thing, you were talking specifically about real estate. It is true the Russians and Chinese oligarchs have bought more New York, Washington, D.C. real estate and California, then, I mean, it's huge amounts of money. The question is, you raised an interesting question. What should be the requirement to buy that property? As you remember, China tried to buy Union Oil. We turned them down. They then bought the Maytag they tried to buy because they want a good brand name because there's no Chinese brand you'd buy. Okay. And then they did, as you know, they bought the
GE
home appliance division of GE, not the engine part. The engine part makes military
and
stuff.
And I thought I was buying, I bought GE Profile for my new kitchen, and
yes.
I thought I was buying U.S., and
well,
here it goes.
Some of them are moved. I mean, if you go to Iowa, where a lot of these appliances are made, all the top brands, but they're also made in China. And the question is, what the president has raised all along is 8 million jobs moved from the United States to China over the last 30 years, particularly when Bill Clinton gave them most favored nation status in the year 2000. The Chinese owe us technically for real, $1.6 trillion in bonds. So they're in default. Those bonds came due, believe it or not, starting in 1958. They've never paid. They paid Britain back what they owed them, but not us. Technically, they're in default. And yet we've kind of wink-wink let it go. China does not play by the same rules everybody else.
Yeah, that's because they're too busy, I'm sorry, paying off the Bidens. Oh, did I say that out loud? So go ahead. Yeah,
there's
why
too
pay
many,
U.S. if you can just buy the Bidens?
As you know, I deal with the nuclear business and missile defense and space. The Chinese tell us nothing about their nuclear stuff except for what they parade in the Tiananmen Square every year. This year, the parade of their nuclear missiles and stuff was 3 miles longer than it was the year before, which was 400 yards, fifth of a mile. This year, it was 3 miles.
And what's your thought about
missile,
that?
They tested more ballistic missiles last year than the rest of the world combined. And according to the State Department, Secretary Pompeo released yesterday, they are growing their nuclear weapons now, what we can see from satellite. They are growing them faster than any other country in the world.
What are they going to do? Blow us all up? I mean,
No. It's called intimidation. They would like to go into Taiwan, and they'll say to us the following. We have nuclear weapons that can reach any of your bases in Korea, Japan, Guam, Philippines, you name it. We got you. And you don't want to mess with us because the consequences are going to be messy.
So we're going to take Taiwan.
That's what their number one goal is right now. And if you look at all the data coming in from the military, the State Department both is, that is our biggest
worry.
Why
is Taiwan important to them?
Because with Taiwan, it's like a huge aircraft carrier. It can now project power from Taiwan. Nobody can get their ships in and around China in the South China Sea. They will control the Western Pacific, which means in the year 2030, that area of the world will have $15 trillion of GDP. And 5 billion people. The trade and investment is going to be enormous. China wants to be the hegemon that runs the show.
So what happened with these islands that they are building? Does that support that theory?
Oh, absolutely, because islands mean airplanes, for example, jet fighters, don't have a big lake. They have to carry a lot of ordnance and weapons, and they can only carry so much gas. And they run out of gas. Okay, if they're coming on an aircraft carrier, they're even got a shorter range because they got to go out, but have to come back. So if instead of having to fly from China, the mainland, I can fly from 600 kilometers out in the ocean and then 400 kilometers beyond that, all the way from China to the Malacca Straits. You look at the Malacca Straits, which is around Malaysia. They can be shut down. If they're shut down, China has no more oil. That's why they're building pipelines from China through to Afghanistan and that area in Turkmenistan in order to bypass the ocean.
Okay, so let's talk about China in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yes.
What I read recently, I think something you shared with me about that there's a communications issue. They're really making it look like they're the good guys and they're here to save the day and we'll just help you if you can't survive Venezuela. Yes. We're your friend. Tell us about that.
Well, China is in cahoots with Nicaragua, Cuba, Venezuela, and a number of other countries. In particular, as I said, one of the things they've done is I got this briefing from Southcom in Miami.
Tell people what Southcom is.
Southcom is the Southern Command, which is responsible for everything in Latin and Central America for the United States military. They talk directly to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense. This is what's going on in your backyard, boys and girls. Now, unfortunately, we haven't paid a lot of attention, and I mean by we, the United States, for years. It's not partisan on this issue. As I said, I had a four-hour briefing, and I was the only person getting briefed, all unclassified. This was 2016. And I asked the general officer who gave me the briefing, who is an old friend and a nuclear weapons guy, 3-star. I said, how come this isn't public? And he says the State Department would kill us because we're telling the secrets of a lot of these countries that – and he told me. He said they build a soccer stadium, the Chinese. And everybody
– and by the way, that was the State Department under the Obama administration.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Got that.
And unfortunately,
so
that also
– very different culture, I imagine.
It's they don't want to embarrass anybody, but – the countries know that this is what they're doing, and they get into debt. Africa in particular is getting way, way in debt. The Chinese have where they're calling it the belts and suspenders, and that is they build their highways instead of on the ocean and the land. They want to build and have all the gas stations and seaports and basically control trade. This is their vision. And it's, you got to understand that these people are not dumb. They're deadly serious. Do they use nefarious, underhanded, cheat, lie, and steal? Absolutely. But what they're doing is they're buying up seaports, which is going to control trade. Then they buy up the banks, which controls investment. Any infrastructure, roads, highways, tunnels being built, guess who comes in to build them? Chinese labor, with a little bit of domestic labor, but there's no bids on the contract. The contract goes to China, and that's it, folks. Okay. And then you have that, and then the IT. This is the genius of the Chinese. They control the internet. So the information that you get in a country, the information is basically controlled by the Chinese government.
First of all, the president, Trump, just announced or declared Cuba as a terrorist state. Can you tell us?
Thank God.
Finally, right? What is that about?
Well, when President Kennedy solved the Cuban missile, went after the Bay of Pigs, we made a deal under the table with the Russians, Soviets. We said we would not try to assassinate Castro again, and we would not interfere in the internal and external policies of the Cuban government. Russia gave Cuba the role of the spear of the wars of national liberation around the world. Angola, El Salvador, Colombia, Venezuela, Vietnam, they gave them the weapons channeled through them and all the revolutionary communist insurgencies.
Hold on, they gave who?
Cuba.
Cuba.
Cuba was the delivery truck.
Okay, got it. The middleman. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Sweeties on the Creek and Dionovich and Associates, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today Peter Husey, and we are talking about all things China. And really, we are in the midst of a global transformation in so many ways. And I want to talk about the immigration issue. You know, President Trump really squashed that in his first year, 2017, really got a handle around all of the issues of people coming up across that southern border. I don't think it's been maybe a year or
more. Not quite a year.
Now we're seeing a group of 7,000 marching our way because they know that O'Biden is going to be in office. That's Obama 2.0. And so we're going to have all these people trying to get through that border. And by the way, you know, there is a nice, beautiful wall there, but it's not complete. And we know that embedded in these groups are human traffickers hiding behind women and children.
Yes.
Using them to get across. But we also know that terrorists come through that way.
Yes.
So let's talk about that because this is a very serious thing.
It is.
That's happening again because they know that a weak president-elect is in line to take over.
What's interesting is that some of the Biden spokesmen were asked about this by the media. And they said, don't come now. We're not ready. So what's happened is the Guatemalan military and border guards are pushing back because these people, there are 9,000 coming from Honduras. And they all have the same shirts on, same slogans, same. It's all paid for by people like Soros. And then the Mexicans are going to get involved because they don't want all these people.
All right, I'm going to say something. George Soros is an enemy of the state.
You don't have an argument with me.
And a terrorist.
Yes. So what happens is it's part of our own fault because our laws are so stupid and our courts have interfered, is that the smugglers bring
The courts have done nothing.
No, the courts have gone to them on the wrong side.
Yeah.
They've done
stupid things. They have stood in the way of justice.
You can't hold children more than 72 hours, so you got to release them, but you can't release them without a guardian, and then the guardian happens to sometimes be a trafficker. What is happening is the children are bringing in traffickers. The courts know and the law enforcement knows, and they know they're going to be released within 72 hours and told here's a ticket.
The children.
The children then are brought back into Mexico to pick up another group of traffickers to bring them back through to America. That's why we did a face recognition software to find out, wait a minute, these children just came through 30 days ago, something fishy.
We turned them back with the parents?
Yes, thank God now is what we got the Mexican government to agree is that given the fact that they could ask for asylum in Mexico under international law, that's where they have to stop. And we got the Mexican government to agree to that. And that's why those huge flows overwhelming the border, we put an end to it. Now, the problem is the law and the courts have so made a mash of this is that we can't hold anybody, and you can't hold adults and children in the same place. So that's why under Obama, they built what they call the cages, which they all blamed on Trump. Okay? Because you only can hold them for a certain period of time. You got to give them a ticket saying, show up for a hearing on your asylum. And most of the asylum places, 99% are bogus. So the big problem is they're not only human trafficking of children and women for sex purposes and also laborers, it's the drugs.
One of the things that really interests me as somebody who's in communications is educating and really transforming that Southern Hemisphere by us helping them, and I've said this for years, rather than people wanting to come to U.S. because we're so great, what if we help them make their countries great so that they want to stay in their own countries and have their nations thrive and prosper, not because of the Chinese, not because of the drug cartels, but because their people make it so. So what I'm interested in is how do we assist the Southern Hemisphere countries, even Central America, to withstand the pull, the draw, the attraction, the drug, if you will, of prosperity that China offers people, because it's like doing business with the devil, right?
Right.
You give in to them and all of a sudden they own you. How do we shift that so that we're not, we've got China on our south side?
Well, part of it is take the supply chain that was in China and move it to Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Panama, and Costa Rica.
Oh, I love that.
Now, the problem is the following. Drug cartels are killing Mexico and Honduras and Salvador. And Cuba's part of that.
Killing them in what way?
Economically. The violence is so bad as people are fleeing it. The children get kidnapped to be couriers. The women get sold into prostitution and basically
sex slaves.
Is there
any attempt to clean that up in Mexico?
It's very, very difficult because the cartels have so much money to bribe the government. Now, I have to admit, the current president of Mexico is way left, but he did more than the other previous presidents of Mexico to work with President Trump to basically, and he did, he cracked down. I mean, they're
And President Trump, you know,
Mexico
even,
is
at
like
first
the
they
eighth,
weren't going to work together.
No,
then all of a sudden, Trump created a great relationship
with
them.
Well, he basically said, here, we're going to start enforcing the law. Now, Mexico, I think, is the eighth largest economy in the world. I think it's pretty higher than most people realize. It's being Salvador, Guatemala, El Salvador, these are, and Nicaragua too, the violence, the drugs, and then they had the pandemic, which is bad, and they had hurricanes, and so we have basically 40-some-odd percent of the Salvadoran population is here in America. A good deal of about half of it illegally here. So it's going to take a real effort from them and us together. And I've always said the supply chain can go from China. We're going to take it back and put it in America, half of it, and put the half of it through Central Latin America.
Well, you know, one of the things that makes Hong Kong so interesting from a fashion standpoint is Hong Kong is considered a fashion mecca, right? So you can go there and get great quality. But what China did, in my understanding, is let's just say fashion, for example, as an industry. Piecework was done in China. They shipped it to Hong Kong so they could say it was made in Hong Kong.
Yes.
And we were willing to buy Hong Kong products, but we were no longer willing to buy China products because it was made by children. You know, if you took that model and actually flipped it and made it a good thing, we could be looking at some of these South American, Central American countries as partners in the manufacturing process, doing our piecework,
yes.
finishing here. We create trade for them and trade for us. It would be excellent.
It would be, but security is probably the number one issue. And the security is that the drug cartels use intimidation and violence to basically disrupt families, disrupt businesses, and basically it's a drug culture because the whole country's GDP is dependent upon this horrible group of individuals. I mean, you've seen MS-13. We just arrested a whole bunch of these are the most god-awful drug cartel people I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the things they do.
Yeah, they're vicious.
And the Mexican cartels are even just as bad. So unless we get rid of the opiate addiction and the drugs, now who's contributing hugely to the drug cartels? China. They're building fentanyl plants in Mexico and letting Mexican cartel folks smuggle the crap into this country. You know the book Hillbilly Elegy, which is the story of rural America and this wonderful, wonderful author. It's totally nonpartisan. He said, look, in rural America, we demanufactured, okay? No jobs, no marriages, no children, no business entities forming. What happened? The only thing, those were all down. What was up? Drugs, addiction, abuse, divorce. Now, he made a point in the book, was fascinating to me, is he, all the parts of the country where we had fracking in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, and so forth, guess who they voted for in 2016? They voted for Donald Trump. You know why? Because fracking brought very good white-collar and blue-collar jobs. People got married. Men were attractive to get married to because they had good jobs. Children were born. Rural areas' property values went up. Businesses started being created. And guess what? Rural America started perking up. And that was, and he traces it brilliantly done. And Steve Bannon points out this as well. That's where Donald Trump's victory came from, fracking. Now, what happens when we have knuckleheads in the government who are going to shut down fracking? We're 20% below 2000 in greenhouse gas production. Best in the world except for Germany in terms of a nation state reducing greenhouse gases. And for all the hullabaloo about global warming or climate change or whatever you want to call it, fracking had an enormous impact on turning around this country's deterioration. And now we're going to get rid of it. And then we're going to, what, export even more jobs to China? And on the other hand, we're going to have, what, 11 million illegal aliens come to this country who are here. How many are actually working and want jobs? We got Americans. We got 10 million Americans out of work.
Through my various things I do, run across people who are here illegally. And for the most part, they're good, hardworking
Absolutely.
Folks. And they contribute to our economy in a certain way. However, I don't believe that we've come up with a plan for helping them either repatriate properly, frankly, assist them in going back to their homeland.
Well, 40% of their money goes back. So it's a great foreign aid program, but it doesn't stay here in our economy. My worry is even, let's say you gave amnesty to 11 million and gave them a pathway to citizenship and all that. And so half of them who work off the books worked on the books and we got the money. Let's say for argument purpose, that's
it. It would be a revenue
generator. How many other millions of people are going to walk up to that border and come across?
Well, you
because they
enforce
think
it.
Amnesty is around the corner, like the
right.
caravans.
Well, but the notion of the wall that the president has put in has certainly been a deterrent. We know that.
It has helped.
It has helped.
I've talked to the Border Patrol. They say, look, if I don't have to be there and the sensors can tell me it's going to take them 25 minutes even to pretend to get over the wall, I can get there in time, but I can put my resources elsewhere where I've got to go after people.
All right. I want to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and talk about the impending, I want to say impending doom of, it was right there at the tip of my tongue, about the Biden administration undoing the good works and the progress that was made by Trump before the Wuhan virus.
And I
just want to leave us with one
on
note.
What? Just the economy?
On the economy, on jobs, all of the things, some of the things
well,
you shared about.
Will be if what happens and then we see what's the job numbers going to look like in April or May or June.
So I want to talk about how Biden's philosophy is going to undo some of the great work of Trump. We'll be right back. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Dianovich and Associates and Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now. We'll be right back. Have with me today, Peter Husey, and we are talking about all sorts of interesting information. And one of the things I want to talk about, and Peter and I, you know, text sometimes, and I had this epiphany one night. I said, wait, if Fauci was working on this and they gave the money and then they developed the, and it was like 2 + 2 = 4, and I said, if they manufactured this thing, and this thing came from the Wuhan lab, and we are calling it the China virus, the Wuhan virus, then if it was manufactured and released, isn't that an act of war? And you sent me back one word, yes.
Yes. Well,
and we now know people are saying we're in a cyber war, and
right.
You know, and worse because they hit us
finally,
with this COVID.
Basically, the consensus is now that it came out of the lab. The fight is over between those who think it was that they wanted to develop a really, really tough vaccine, so they made the most awful virus they could. That if they could do a virus that would, a vaccine that would solve those, it would do things like the SARS. It would do something like H1N1. It would do something like COVID. do everything. They make, I mean, you're talking about making billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, but you know, we were also in the middle of the Trump administration and they wanted to take him down.
So the object ban came is that's why they were developing a virus that was so bad.
And when did that start, Peter?
Well, it was a year and a half, 2 years ago. Because remember,
H1N1, H1N1
came from them and SARS came from them. These guys can't seem to get their act together.
No. I think it's intentional. Well, this is not, even, they're not stupid people.
It doesn't have to be because here's the deal. Fauci said, I got to give the guy money, the lab, so we can put people there, Americans, and they can watch what these clowns do because we dodged a bullet with H1N1. As one of Biden's people said, we could have millions of dead. We just got really lucky. The issue is we gave money to the one lab to watch it. And we didn't watch it. They schnookered us. And then the fight is now between the specialists. It came out of the lab deliberately, as you pointed out, which I think is what they did. They didn't care about their own people. They wanted to shut down the U.S. economy. That's why they didn't tell anybody.
That would get rid of Trump.
Did it get out of the lab because someone was stupid and by mistake?
No.
An accident?
They're not stupid people.
It was made in the lab. Well, the issue is it doesn't matter.
They intentionally let it out.
They're at fault and negligible, and my view is we should send them a bill. Not only send them a bill.
You can't recover the lives lost.
No, but we can send them a bill for the trillions of dollars we've lost. And my view is it was.
Wait, they haven't paid us the old bills. Why are they going to start paying that one?
Well, we got a lot of their money in our banks.
Okay, let's talk about COVID. As an interference and precursor to the election, we know that China was involved in this election. We know that Dominion Software, Hammer and Scorecard, and all of this stuff. We know that Soros was involved.
Jennifer, it's worse than that. The Chinese Progressive Association has been a 50-year-old organization. They're all over America. But they're joined with organizations that registered people to vote in urban America with Democrats. And they put millions and millions of dollars, very clever. They did. They started organizing the day after the 2016 election. They said, we cannot let Trump get reelected. And they registered bogus. I think they registered illegal aliens. I think they registered.
Well, we know they did. They had 200,000 more voters.
They knew. I mean, they went out and whether it was bogus or not, which it was, they started organizing and we were asleep at the switch.
Wait, hold on, Peter. We know that they had 200,000 more voters in Pennsylvania than they had on the voter registration. Okay, so we know that.
No, I understand.
And so the point I know from talking to Lacey, who was running against Ilhan Omar, they were buying the votes.
No, I understand. But remember,
Project Veritas caught them on video.
Right.
So we know that they were paying them $200 a vote.
Yes, Jennifer, but it's more important to know that it's illegal for foreign money to be involved in voter registration elements in America.
It's also illegal for them to flip them Trump to Biden. And we know that Italy and
Leonardo, the company in Italy, we never should allow them to be doing this in this country to begin with. That's what I mean. Justice Department fell asleep. There is an election integrity unit in the Justice Department.
I don't think they
did
fell
nothing.
Asleep. I think it was absolutely by design.
Oh, you think the Justice Department basically winked?
Here's what I think. I think that this was a fraudulent election, and it should be null
and void.
Well, at
the very least, we should do an audit.
It should not forget the audit.
No, we have to know what happened.
Well, let me finish.
We only got 2 days, Jennifer.
I got 2 minutes left with you, Peter.
Okay.
Listen. That was a fraudulent election.
I want to prove it.
It should be null and void, and we should have a do-over.
I agree, but unfortunately, we don't know how to do that in this country.
Well, we should figure it out. There's a first time for everything, and this is the time for a do-over if there was ever one.
But if we did an audit, an honest audit, that the Supreme Court
overlooked.
Audit
is too late.
And said,
You're going to put Biden in office?
It's not going to change things, but it will say is,
well, it
you
must change things.
You can't do that again.
You cannot seat a president based on a fraudulent election.
Jennifer, we got 2 days.
You heard it here.
I know, but
You heard it here. It's not over. It's not over till this fat lady sings.
Okay.
All right, how much time we got? So here's what I want to say. This is contentious. Our nation cannot be built on the foundation and premise of fraud, corruption, international interference, whether it's in our markets, or it's in our land, or it's in our ports and banks, or it's in our elections.
I agree.
We cannot ever say, well, it just didn't turn out. Maybe better luck next time.
We can't cede our sovereignty over our Constitution to foreign powers and corrupt powers.
So we must.
Who can just take the Constitution and shred it.
Maryland, wait for it, uses Dominion software.
I know.
It is believed by many that Trump actually won Maryland. That's shocking.
That's a stretch.
There are some people who actually think he won California, which
I struggle with that. No. I mean, he did get 6 million votes in
California. He did not win New York. God bless Cuomo. But okay. I believe that our election was fraught with fraud, and I believe it is possible that he may have won Maryland. Because when you look at the urban areas, when you look at Baltimore City, if you look at California and the rolling blackouts, the unemployment and the shutdowns by Governor Newsom, we know.
I mean, something wasn't right. But the only way to do this is to fight like hell to get an honest audit of what happened and prove that there was fraud and then say, put the people in jail who did it and say, this is not going to happen
again. You're not going to get the
people
in jail.
And do it before 2022.
You cannot expect justice when your legislators are corrupt.
But
it ain't gonna happen.
The disinfectant of sunlight of popular opinion can say something screwy with this election in Detroit or whatever you want to Milwaukee. Let's look at what happened. Now, my worry is
they tried to do that.
There wasn't enough time.
The judges didn't allow for it. They also requested 10 extra days,
right,
which were not granted.
I understand. We now have up to, let's say, a year and a half until the summer of 2022. I want this. You have to get this all done before the election in 2022.
That'll never happen.
Oh, well, Jennifer.
You got the corruption running Washington. It ain't going to happen.
Well,
you heard it
you
here.
You can try.
You're going to. Yep. And I could try to bake a cake. It's a disaster
nice.
Every time. Okay. So I just want to thank everybody for listening. This has been a tense conversation with Peter because there's so much at stake right now. And we may agree to disagree on some of these issues, particularly around the election. I'm not giving up hope
asking everybody who's listening.
I'm not giving up. Let me finish. Don't step on me.
I won't dare.
Okay. I'm not giving up hope that justice and truth shall prevail, and that this planet will be transformed to one of honesty, decency, judiciary integrity, and legislative courage. And I'm saying prayers for our country and for the many countries around the world right now that are suffering. And I just really want to thank you, Peter, for being here. Thank you for your intense conversation. It's always interesting. And thank you for all you do for our nation from where you sit in the work that you do with the Pentagon and others. God bless you. Really,
well,
truly.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Success Happens. Make sure you tune in this coming Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for another great conversation. I'm talking to a few guests. I promise they will not disappoint. And have a great week. You've been listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD.